Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them." This is our text. It is simply the reality of life for every human being. All of us are accountable to other people. Someone else, someone besides yourself, has an interest in what you do and in how you handle yourself. We must all give an account. We must give an account of our time and our work. We must give an account for our words and our deeds. In your life, who is it that holds you accountable? Is it your boss and your direct report? Or your spouse, a parent, a teacher, a coach, your pastor, maybe an extended friend or an extended family member who holds you to account for the things you do and say. These conversations may be things that we dread or avoid, or perhaps we approach them gladly and cheerfully as we offer an account of ourselves. Today's parable portrays Jesus as our direct report, the master to whom we will give an account when he comes again. He is our highest Lord, our highest master. As it says in Psalm 100, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his." Amen. We belong to him with our bodies and souls and all we have and all we are. And then the psalm invites us, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." At this season of the church year, we are nearing the very last Sunday, which will be next Sunday, and in view we have Christ's return. We know that Christ is going to return soon, and when he comes, we don't know the day or the hour, but it will be a surprise, a beautiful and wonderful surprise. And when Christ returns, this parable is teaching us that we will be called to give an account of ourselves to the Master. Because we are servants who have been entrusted with much. And so we are to live now as those who are entrusted with much, awaiting that day that we do not know when it will come. But it is not unforeseen. Jesus has promised, "I am coming soon." Of what then are we stewards? What has been entrusted to us? In the parable, the word that's used is the word talent, and we immediately turn to thinking about our own skills and abilities. The talents, I suppose, like everything that ranges from playing a musical instrument to being able to juggle. That's not what it means here. The word talent is a unit of money, a very large unit and measure of money. So the way it is this. This master, as he is going away, takes the thing that is most valuable to him, the thing that is his most precious possession, and he entrusts that to his servants. The first thing that might be a surprise is that the master would be willing to do this at all. If I were the master, I suppose I might take my most treasured possession and put it away in a lockbox somewhere under safekeeping, where no one can touch it, no one can get to it. But instead, this master is generous and extravagant, and he takes his most precious possession and he puts it in the hands of his servants, and he invites them to use it and not to hide it. We would never be so risky with our treasures, but God is. And what is the treasure that is most precious to our Lord? What is the thing that is the highest and greatest possession that he has? But his word, his holy and precious word. God's word is the most valuable thing in the kingdom of God, because it is through God's word that we know Christ Jesus as our Savior. It is through God's word that we hear how God's Son became man and died on the cross to pay for your sins and for mine and for the sins of the world. In his word, you hear of Christ's marvelous and glorious resurrection from the dead, how he appeared to his disciples alive with life for you and me. It is through the word that we are made new creatures in holy baptism. And it is through the word that this bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ for us. The most valuable thing, the most precious treasure that our Lord has, the most precious treasure that he has is this word that he gives to us, because in his word our sins are forgiven and we have everlasting life. And this word he has entrusted to his people. This is the thing. He has placed into our hands and into our mouths the thing that is most holy and most precious and most valuable in God's entire kingdom. He has given us his word. His word for me as pastor to preach and teach faithfully, and for you as a Christian to share with others, to give to them. He has put this gospel into our hands, and he has given us time, and he has given us relationships with other people. So one of the things I want you to be thinking of today is, who are the people and what are the times where God gives me an opportunity to share this precious treasure and to put it to use? There are two other things that struck me about what we are being stewards of. When our Lord gives, when the Master gives to his servants, he does not give to all of them the same amount. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, and it says, each according to his ability. And I find those words to be so precious. Our God does not give us a gift greater than we can handle. He does not give a gift to us that is beyond our ability to use. He knows us, each individually and personally, and he knows what we are able to do. And he does not expect more than what we are capable of, but he does expect what we are able to do. The other thing is that the master does not demand a certain amount back. He doesn't say to the guy with 5 talents, here's 5 talents, you better get 5 talents more. He doesn't say, here are 2 talents, you better bring back 2 more. He simply gives it generously and freely, pouring out his grace, expecting them to live in and enjoy and treasure the grace that he has given. And so also for us. Our Lord is generous. He pours out his grace on us. How often, Sunday after Sunday, our sins forgiven, the body and blood of Christ being given to us again, his holy word being placed into our ears, our Lord is not stingy. He gives us such an extravagant wealth of Christ and grace and forgiveness, way beyond what we deserve. But not, he knows, beyond what we are able to use. And so these servants are sent out as the master goes away with this beloved treasure. And think about it, with the gospel does not come as something that we have to struggle over what to do with. When the gospel comes and we know that our Lord loves us, not because we've been great or amazing or wonderful, but for Christ's sake, don't you want to share it? Don't you want others to know? I know there are times we may be nervous about sharing our faith, situations that we may be reticent to speak. But don't be afraid. You have the most precious treasure in the entire kingdom of God in your hands to give to others and to share with them. And so think about what happens. This master is so generous with them. He doesn't give them more than they can handle, doesn't give them what is beyond their power, and he doesn't burden them with a specific demand. He simply says, here it is, make use of it. And then he's going to call them to account. He's going to call them to speak of what they've done and how they've used it. And I can tell you this. When I think about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and my master coming and asking me, what did you do with this? My heart wants to be able to overflow with sharing with him the good news of what of those who have heard and those with whom I have shared his message. It is not a burden when our Lord asks us, what have you done with the gospel I've given to you? It is an opportunity for joy to share with others and then to report to our Lord what we have done. And think about the man with 5 talents. What does he do? Immediately he goes out. Immediately, it says, he goes out and he puts those talents to use so that he has 5 talents more. He doesn't wait. He doesn't hide it. He isn't shy or reticent about speaking, but he shares what is given to him. And so also with a man who's been given less, but has 2 talents. And then there's the man who's been given 1. And you'll notice the difference between these servants. The servant who's been given 5 and the servant who's been given 2, they don't think of their master as a hard man. They don't think of their master as a man who is going to come with fire and brimstone and breathe down their neck and demand more than they've done. There's a joy about what they do, a joy about how they live, a joy about the talents they've been given. But the man with the 1 talent is very different. What did he say about his master? I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and harvesting where you didn't plant. I knew that you were a hard man, and because you're such a hard man, I decided I'm just going to hold on to this and bury it. And here it is. Hard man, you can have it back. The master is not a hard man. It is the servant who has a hard heart. A heart that does not believe the grace of God. That does not trust what God has given. And here we see what we call a sin, not of commission, of committing a wrong, but a sin of omission. A man who did not do what he should have done. Those are harder to see in our own lives. The opportunities we missed, the place we could have spoken, the thing we could have done and we didn't, and yet that too is sin. It wasn't that he lacked effort. It wasn't that he lacked ideas. It was that he was worried to lose what was placed into his hands, and he did not believe in the graciousness of his master. Our Lord is coming. And he has well supplied you with the abundance of his grace. That is the currency of your life. It is his grace that is the currency that we have to use and to spend and to give. The man with the 1 talent blames the master. He calls the master cruel and hard, and he says, it's your fault that I didn't do more with it. How hard is the master? He is as hard as love is hard. As hard as grace is hard. He is as hard as beauty and joy and goodness. 2 of the servants know their master well. They saw him as one who is willing to take a risk, as one who is lavish with his gifts, generous and trusting. And so they use his gifts the same way, lavishly and generously and in a trusting fashion. They act in faith. They are not jealously guarding what's been given to them, but they are taking what's been entrusted and putting it to use, just as their master had done. But the other one does not know his master at all. In fear, he buries that treasure in his backyard. Instead of faith, his life is shaped by those fears and those resentments, and you can hear it in the words that he says, you are a hard man. Dear friends in Christ, we have a master who loves us. We have a master who would entrust not just little things with us, but the thing that is most precious of all, his own life, his own body and blood, his forgiveness of sins he has entrusted to us. He is not a hard man, but he is lavish, and he is generous, and he loves us dearly and deeply. And consider your Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not the sort of man who took what he had or what was given to him and buried it or hid it in a corner. He took what was given to him and he used it fully and freely and lavishly and extravagantly, and he did it for you and for me. Our Lord hid nothing of what was given to him, but he put all of it there on the cross for your redemption and for mine. That last servant is a servant that we might consider one who struggles with what's called the sin of acedia. It's the sin of slothfulness, but not just laziness. It is a sin of indifference and apathy. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the treasure he's been given. He doesn't care what that treasure is for. He would rather see it buried and hidden than sent out and used. Dear friends, it can be a danger for us as Christians to be indifferent and apathetic about what God has given us, or to think about the treasure of the gospel as something that is ours to have, but not so much ours to share. Look for opportunities. Seek for ways. Know that the Master is generous with you and that he loves you, and he has not set you up to fail, but he has set you up to be his steward and his servant, taking what he's given you and using it for the sake of others. And you'll be amazed when you take those opportunities to speak Christ's gospel to others. Sometimes it might be a door slammed in the face. Sometimes it might be someone who mocks you. But sometimes it will be one who hears and believes and who wants to know more. I heard a story recently about a pastor. A couple came to him to be married, and one of them was a Jewish woman. And the pastor said from the scriptures, "I cannot marry a Christian and a Jewish woman because you cannot be unequally yoked." And so this pastor said, "But I would be glad to sit down and talk with you about the Christian faith." And so over a series of weeks, he taught from the Old Testament all of the prophecies about Christ. And by the fourth or fifth week, the woman said, "You know what? I get it. I believe it." It was some years later, this pastor was calling a business, looking for some help with something they needed done at church. And as he was talking to the woman on the phone, he discovered that this woman had a mother who had been Jewish but had become a Christian. And she had shared the faith with her siblings, her children, and they'd shared it with their grandchildren, and the word of God had spread. This talent, this gospel entrusted this pastor, he shared with someone else, and it went out and made five more talents. He didn't even know. What an amazing and blessed thing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us be bold and confident and faithful and generous, because our Lord was bold and confident and faithful and generous, and he has not and does not withhold his forgiveness and his life and his salvation from you. He has you here today to give you those same gifts again, to entrust them to you, not for you to hide away, but rather for you to live by and to share and to give to others. I know what I want to hear when my Master comes again. I want to hear again his word of forgiveness and his word of love, and the word that rejoices in that gospel that is given and is shared. Well done, good and faithful servant. May God lead us to share what is given. May he forgive us for our failures. May he make us ready and generous with the grace that is entrusted to us. For the grace of God is lavish and generous, and what matters in this life is to live by that grace and that mercy. Everything flows from that, from the life rooted and planted in Christ. If we have Christ, we have everything. And without Christ, we have nothing. Our Lord is coming again. The day of the Lord will come. It is not a day that we should dread. It is a day we should anticipate. It is not an accounting that we should be afraid of, but rather it should be with joy that we share with our Lord what he has given to us. Think of the last day not as a day where your boss is showing up, wondering what you've done, but as a child speaking to a parent about the joys of their life that day and what they have done. "Look what I did, Dad. Look what I've done. Here are all the things from my life that I have to share with you. Our Father in heaven loves you, and he looks forward to you sharing with him what you have done with his gospel, and the impact it has made on your life and on others. We know the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever.
Amen.
That is the word he entrusts to us. That is the word that plants itself in your life now. That is the word that is watered and rooted and grows and bears fruit. We are not a people walking in darkness. You have seen the light of Christ. You know the heart of God. You have heard his promise. The grace of God and the future that that grace brings is even now unfolding. So be ready, dear friends. Be ready when he returns for a greater outpouring of grace still, and for the sharing of what that grace has done in our world and in our lives. Our Lord Jesus Christ is what we need. And he is coming again in glory, not as a hard and cruel master, but as one who is joyous and generous and lavish and faithful and full of love. And your confidence is in him. And your joyful response is from the joy that he shows to you. And the grace that you share is because of the grace that has been given. We are ready to live in his grace. And we are ready for this grace to flow through us. And so we pray for his help. As you give us your grace, Lord, let it be at work in our lives. And may we be the channel by which your grace comes to others, that they too may know your love and kneel with us, beloved sinners, and be numbered among your kingdom. This grace is the currency of our lives. And when he comes again, we will be ready to settle up and to enter into the eternal joy of our Master, because we know his love. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.